Okay, Aaron Walker, Michelle Bertrand, and Eamon Flanagan. We were wondering what we were going to talk about in the local show because we weren't as prepared as we thought, but I gather now that we've got plenty to talk about. But before we get back to talking about the accreditation, because I'd like to sort of discuss that with Aaron in a moment. Michelle Bertrand, you've got to leave us, but just thanks for coming in. But before you go, just let us know how you went. You've gone up a division in the start of the season. Same team?
Yes, the Gungahlin Warriors were not playing State League 4.
State League 4, gone up from State League 5, okay. Mm. Now, sometimes there's not any difference between...
Oh, there was a big difference, I thought.
Okay, so you found that...
It was very tough.
And you played the Mountain Women as opposed to the Mountain Men in Cooma.
That's right, we played against the ladies in Cooma, and yes, they came out to win, but we managed to get a win out of that game, 2-0.
2-0.
But we had a player with a bloody nose and another one injured.
Sounds like you're playing rugby league rather than football, but anyway. All right, well, good. And so your season's off and running and you're feeling super fit.
Oh, I don't know about super fit.
There's a rumour you had to run back into goals halfway through the game, is that right?
Yeah, that's why, because I am not super fit.
All right, well, we look forward to hearing more about the season as the time goes on, but thanks for joining us.
Thank you. See you next week.
No worries. Aaron, your season is also underway. We better, I guess we'll talk, we'll go straight into the results for the men's and women's Premier League and talk about your own season. You got some scores for us?
I do. First, I'll start with the little stuff, the Division 1. And we had Narrabundah, who is everyone's favourite club, went narrowly down to Cooma 2-0 in a very rough game, I must say. I was out there to watch that.
Tim Skinner played, the far post host?
Tim Skinner did play, got a nice yellow card, trod on someone's feet when he was trying to jump and get around. So
Tim, bad boy.
Oh, I would have given him a red if I was the referee. Yeah. And Olympic went down to Woden Valley 2-0. And Olympic having a bit of a poor season so far, still rooted to the bottom of the table without a point. Western Creek went down to the excellent Goulburn 1-0, and now Goulburn are playing this Wednesday in the Tiger Turf Cup up in Sydney, which is a fantastic competition. They've drawn the MacArthur Rams.
Oh, in the New South Wales Premier or State?
I think they call it Super League. It's one down from the New South Wales Premier League.
So it's a cup, is it? Or is it a league?
It is a cup, yeah. And right. So it's kind of like an FA Cup kind of thing for all the teams in Sydney and New South Wales and that kind of area. This is their second round. In the first round, they beat 5-4 Hakua, who are an ex-NSL team, and they had some old NSL players in the team as well. So
Goulburn State League 1 playing the highest level of football of any team in Canberra.
You could argue so, yeah. They're an excellent team. They've got that Daniel Leafy out there. He scores phenomenal amounts of goals. He's one of the top scorers.
His dad, Carlo Leafy, did a heap of jobs. He got like 900 pledges signed up for the O-League, so they're right on the board with their support for the O-League camera.
They're an excellent team, and they would hold their own definitely in ACT Premier League if they were let in. I think they just lack the junior structure and all that.
They've got a great structure set, and they've got a great clubhouse up there. I guess you've been up there, have you, too?
No, I haven't.
So will you be going up there this season, I presume?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Last year, our first grade, when I usually go and watch them, the Goulburn team had went the whole season undefeated, hadn't lost a single game. We scraped into fourth place by goal difference or by a point or something like that. And they'd beaten us 7-1 and 7-2 during the season. And then we drew them in the semifinals, first versus fourth. We went up there. I woke up on the Saturday morning. I intended to get on the team bus and go up with the team, but I woke up. I was a bit worse under the weather from a few too many drinks.
Bad night, yeah.
And I went, oh, bugger that. We're only going to lose anyway. I couldn't be bothered going out there. And we bloody won 3-2. And it was the best game in the club's modern history.
Oh, well, there you go. So next time, get on that bus. Okay, so have you got the table there for the...
Kind of. I had to work it out myself. We got Southern Tablelands and ANU are a bit of a surprise packet. They weren't in Div 1 last year, so they're up the top, both undefeated, 9 points each. Then you've got Cooma on 7, who are always strong. White Eagles on 6, makes out the top 4. Then Woden Valley have 3. Brindabella Blues have a solitary point, which I find quite surprising. And down the bottom of the table on 0 points, Western Creek, Canberra Olympic, and unfortunately, Narrabundah.
Get off the bottom, Narrabundah. Okay, the men's Premier League results?
We have Belconnen United went up 2-1 over Olympic. Close game, 2-1. Woden Valley 1 went down to Tuggeranong United 2. So some very close this year. Very close. A lot of the teams that struggled last year seem to have made up a bit of ground. O'Connor Knights beat Queanbeyan City 2-0. And the other game got postponed, I understand, because a lot of the ANU kids were involved with the Rockets.
Yeah, the ANU Rockets, the ANU Rockets, that's an interesting point for some people. But yeah, the Rockets lost 5 or 6-1, I think, to Beijing. And a lot of the players were actually pulled out of that team, like the Belconnen. And interesting that Scott Conlon, the former Rockets coach, pulled out. Coach of Belconnen pulled out a number of players, and I know some other people did. Which to me is like, you know, do we want a representative program or not? And some of the coaches are saying we want a representative program, but not during the season. Now the season's so short for Canberra League football, and I mean we've only got, you know, the Premier League as opposed to State League and all that sort of stuff. So I mean, it just goes against the spirit of the thing. If you want a rep program for your teams, don't pull the players out. And if you're gonna, I mean, I know some of the boys wanted to play, but the coach told them not to. So
I'm going to slide with the coaches here. If I was coaching a Premier League team, you only get 18 games to make yourself up and work your way up that table. If you've got a game on, I'd pull them out as well and have them play for your team.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it's only the Premier League. Like, it's not like Barcelona versus Manchester United and they pull you out for Australia. You know, it's like...
It might be only the Premier League on a local level, but this is still the best level Canberra has to offer. And these coaches, they're still getting paid to do these jobs. So they still want to do as good as they can.
Of course. But, you know, the chance for some of the younger guys to play against a team from Beijing, I mean, where is the foresight? You know, some of these guys may never get a chance to play against boys from overseas. You know, you can run around and play Belconnen versus whoever every day of the week. I don't know. I just think it's a really, you know, when you see it at a national level, clubs don't let their players go. But when you get it at a local level, you think, well, come on, guys. You know, Belconnen will play next week and the week after and the week after. And, you know, whether they lose a couple of points.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, you have a fair point.
Just,
I think the coaches have the right to fight to have their best players on the team.
Yeah, I do. But what's the point in having any representative football?
We'll definitely have some representative football. I think they were just unfortunate this time that the Beijing team only had X amount of time to play in. And it
but when are you going to play? You never have a representative program. If the coaches are allowed to pull the players out, then basically from the whole 18 weeks of the season, which is a pretty short season, you have no representative football, you know, which presumably Beijing can only come at a certain time. I just think it's narrow-minded. So that's what the near post thinks. Far post disagrees. Good on you. All right. So having got that off my chest, now the Women's Premier League started this week.
Yes, it did. And we had Canberra FC went even 1-1 with ANU. Western Creek, another 1-1 draw with Belconnen United. And last year's grand finalist, Bellwest Foxes, went down 2-1 to Woden Valley. So a bit of a surprise there. But the goal scorer was Yeoman Dale. Now, Eamon, you're on top of these kind of things. Is she the real deal? I've heard she's a fantastic prospect.
Well, I don't know. All I can go is what I've seen. She scores a number of goals and scored a number of goals in the grand final. She's certainly, and she's very young. I think she's only 14. So she's certainly, I mean, if you go by people who've stood out in the past...
She got a hat-trick in the grand final, the final of the pre-season Federation Cup, didn't she?
Yeah, so, you know, you'd have to think that she's potentially our next young Matilda or, you know, coming through. So, you know, Canberra's got a great record of producing female players. And, why not? Let's see her do it. So, watch this space. Georgia Yeomandale, I think is the name. So, that table's just started. Canberra FC, their first time back in the Premier League for a long time, so they've got a draw, they've got a point, so they're off and running. All right, what I want to just run back over is the national curriculum very briefly, as the details are. The accreditation side of it, I love it. I'm really excited
about
it. I love it. I love that all that regulation, accreditation, everybody getting ticked off on the box. And the reason I love it, I think there's a lot of scammers out there in Australia. And what I think they're doing is, and I think people are focused on the top end, like the Sydney, as you mentioned, the New South Wales Premier League sides. But I'm focusing on the bottom end, where we've got a lot of people doing academies and clinics and general, you know, whatever. And what you're getting is, you know, you might have, I don't know, a professional player taking something and you think you're getting a good deal. And you might be and you might not. You might have me taking a clinic and you might think, oh, well, I've got my coaching badge. Or you might have somebody else who doesn't have any coaching badges. Even if you do have your coaching badge, what they're actually providing in terms of a course, you know, you might have your coaching badge, but do you actually provide something that is really, you know, nutted down, like I assume the Curva program is. You can see the program, you can see what they're doing, you can, you know, they're employing particular coaches. But there's 101 scams going on around Australia, and I think what we need to do is protect the parents. If you're going to put your kid into a clinic, they want to know that, you know, it's like any other industry. It's you know, you're not just got your coaching badge, but what you're actually provided on that particular day is of a standard that improves football, whether it's providing drinks, whether it's providing a written curriculum or whatever. So from that point of view, I think the game's exploding. The Socceroos and Matildas have changed everything. They're going to continue to do it. There's a lot of people trying to get in on the bandwagon and say, hey, here's a you know, call it what you want, an academy development program. So from that point of view, at that bottom end, and I think everyone's focused on the top end, but I think from that point of view, the accreditation is important. Also, can I just say the social clubs, the junior clubs, I think, again, really important. If you go to sign your kid up for a junior club, and we're talking from 6 to 12, well, you know, throw them a ball, have a game of soccer, that's beautiful. But, you know, these days, piano or whatever kids do, they expect to get a certificate and they expect to have a program. And they wouldn't go to a teacher who doesn't give them something that is, you know, basically test-oriented or official. Now, I'm not suggesting everyone should be tested, but I think what we need to know is if you go to a club, this is what we're offering. And this is what we're going to get. And it might be a social thing where you do just get a kick around. And if so, that's fine. Or you get drills and you get whatever and you get... So you see, that's where I'm coming from, Aaron. I think there's just... I think parents will demand that information in time, and I think the FFA are right to go about it that way. So that's where I see the accreditation being quite an important point in the national curriculum.
Yes, you're right. On the other hand, I think there is a case for experienced coaches. I mean, say I'm a coach out there, I've got 20, 30 years experience coaching local kids. And then you have a guy out there that's never actually coached ever, but he's been to every seminar, every lecture, done every test online and all that kind of stuff about modern coaching in the Dutch way. And that's going to be seen as much more valued than the guy that's got 20 years experience on the park. So what they're saying to these people that have been the grassroots football for a long time now, they're saying, look, what you've done over this time is worthless. What you need to do is get our accreditation.
I think you're right, and I think that one of the points there is the cost of coaching. You know, some of the cost of the courses is phenomenal.
That's right.
And to go out there and... but, I mean, I guess you've got to manage it. I mean, can you really be a brilliant coach of kids if you've never done any courses, either as a sort of a development coach, as in a teacher development role, you know, so you know how to break things down, so you know how to back it up, or... as a trained coach? I mean, I think, you know, you might have played the game for 20, 30 years, you might have been coaching, but there can't be that many of those people out there really who haven't done some sort of... And also, I mean, you know, let's face it, Aaron, a lot of people in sport these days, if you haven't done that sort of development, if you're not aware of kids' development, you know, if you haven't done some sort of professional development course in terms of junior adolescent development, you know, you can be doing more damage despite your football knowledge.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just think that the FFA really isn't doing itself any favours by devaluing the work that people have been putting in for so long and just saying that telling people their knowledge is worth nothing. I mean, clearly we have people in this country who have been very, very good junior developers. I mean, we've had two under-19 teams that have made the World Cup semi-finals twice in a row, and then one made the final against Brazil. So clearly at a junior level, we have a very good record. And to all of a sudden come in and say to these coaches, look, all the knowledge you have is no good anymore. You need to do it our way now, and you need to pay all this money to get accredited to teach the way that we want you to teach. I think that's a big slap in the face for a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm not so sure it's going to be cut and dry. I suspect a lot of people that, you know, perhaps at the clubs that we're talking about, I reckon lots of them would have done their courses already. I think there's a lot of peer pressure around football for, well, the last 10, 20 years, and particularly in the last 10 years, that people have been doing their courses. And I think you'd be surprised that a lot of these clubs who have got people who have 20, 30 years of football experience, I'd be surprised if they don't have their coaching certificates. I really would. You know, just... you're talking to people, seeing the ex-players, etc., who have all gone through the system, where you think, like, you know, ex-player Nedzelić, I think, is on a course at the moment. You think, well, you know, with his experience, you know, you sort of think, well, why would he have to do it? You know, he knows it all. And when you see all the other players that have done it, Ocon, Tobin, you know, and Tom Samani, example, as a Matildas coach, all these guys have done their coaching badges. And I don't think there'd be as many people out there with 20 or 30 years in those real positions of sort of higher level of football, I guess.
I think for the ex-players, yes, because they get to a stage in their career where they've made a lot of money playing professional football, and all of a sudden they don't know what to do. They don't have any tangible skills, and coaching is a natural career path for them. They've got all this money to spend on coaching, so they can do that. I think it's the guys that haven't taken that path. I mean, if you have a look at a lot of people like Sven-Göran Eriksson, who's hitting, they were never elite players. They might have been professional players, but they were never elite players. And so these are the guys that might be missing out.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, and I guess the cost factor is something the FFA are aware of. The PFA have been pushing hard to get a coaching pathway for the professional players, which is perhaps a good thing, but it also excludes everyone who wasn't a professional player, who, you know, there's no reason why they can't be a particularly good coach. You don't, just because you're not a professional player doesn't mean that you may be a superb coach. you know. So, well, there's plenty to discuss. And, I mean, there's lots of, I think one of the things that's interesting, the strategy, the FFA have only put out bits for us to have a look at. So we can have a chat about that. But obviously when they put out the plan, well, presumably next week in Canberra, they're obviously going around to all the different associations across the country, state and territories, they'll be giving out the plan in more detail. So, and there's going to be a massive bun fight, I reckon.
And while I am picking out the points which I don't like about it, I think it's a very good thing that we have a plan to move forward in this country, which is something we've never had before.
And that's the key point, isn't it? Whether we like 4-3-3 or whether we like all the coaching, accreditation, etc., at the end of the day, I don't think it matters. I think it's the fact that we've got a plan, and then we can argue and say, well, hang on, 4-3-3, should we be moving to this or should we? And that's where we need to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're starting, and I mean, there's a lot of knowledge about these, the sort of level of football these days. I think, to me, I think Hiddink taught the nation basically about football tactics, strategy, which a lot of us probably hadn't ever gone into, or there was never a forum, I suppose, to discuss it in that detail.
And if there's one thing we know about the FFA, it's that they're going to make their decisions and they're going to carry them out regardless of what anyone thinks. I mean, I remember when the A-League was first brought out and they decided that they weren't going to have any of the ethnic-based teams, and we were sitting here having the same arguments, saying that no one was going to put up with it, it was no good, and it was all these other arguments. In the end, it doesn't matter. They're going to roll it out the way they want, and that's what's going to happen.
Aaron, just on another point, we'll get you on the FA Cup. Do you think Australia should have an FA Cup? I've noticed the FFA have put it off for another year at least. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I think it'd be terribly difficult to arrange. I mean, Australia's not like England, where you can drive anywhere in the country in 4 hours. So for amateur teams that are potentially making their way up the scale of a FFA Cup, it's going to be tough for them to get over if they get drawn against a team from Western Australia or something like that. So you'd have to arrange it by associations. It would be, I don't want to be the one that has to organise it, but if I think they could, it would be fantastic. It really appeals to me.
I think you should be the one to organise it. I mean, I think there's going to be that many more jobs in football, and you seem to me like a guy who needs to get into football, so why not organise the FA Cup?
Yeah, okay. I guess
the only thing I'm concerned about is, and people howl me down, but the old ethnic, if you want to use that word, certainly there is, you see it at the tennis with this, some of the communities there. You see it at some of the football. I mean, there's a game in Sydney last weekend or whenever it was, it had to be played behind closed doors. There's still that threat of violence at a small minority of clubs. And I think that as soon as you bring that out, we can't afford to have it. We don't want it. We can't afford to have it. I suspect that is the biggest thing holding back.
That's why they haven't done it. I mean, they worked hard to get rid of these ethnic tensions, and now that they've done that, they don't want to let them back in the back door. I noticed they did also closed out the Sydney United versus Bonnyrigg White Eagles a couple of weeks ago.
And that's in the New South Wales Premier League, which basically there's not many people watching these days in comparison to the old NSL, and yet there's still potential have to play behind a closed door. So it's a real worry, and it really does restrict that growth of an FA Cup style competition. I think that's the only thing holding it back.
I think so too.
Okay, well, we'll perhaps we should put it to the clubs to find the New South Wales Premier League clubs, Victorian Premier League clubs, to find out, you know, how they would manage that situation if they were allowed to have a cup, because otherwise I can't see a way forward for them.
Also, grounds is an issue. Say a Narrabundah won a few games in a row, and all of a sudden we're getting big crowds. I mean, we play at Narrabundah Oval, and you have to stand on the edge of the field, Eamon. So you'd have to work out stadiums and grounds.
I think that's easily solved. But I mean, presumably you just have to hire camera stadium to put your crowd in, mate. Yeah. Or Bell Connon or whatever, but that's probably more solvable. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more to Aaron in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Lydia Williams from the Matildas. You're listening to the 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. If you go into the near post, get there first.
And I'm talking to Aaron Walker. Aaron is the host of the Far Post Sunday show, which goes out on 2XX 3 till 5, 2 hours non-stop football. Aaron and Tim Skinner, you can hear him, and Pete Papathanasio,
Lee Gordon,
and Adam Castle. Yeah. The whole team does the Sunday show, so 3 till 5 every Sunday. And I know, guys, you've got a plan to podcast the show in time, and there's been some fantastic interviews on there, so it really is a great 2 hours of local football and all football. So have a listen if you haven't heard or haven't heard about the show. Aaron, your own story, you're a bit of a football nut, really. Are you an all sports nut, or are you just a football nut?
Oh, you know, I bend across a few codes. I like my cricket. I watch a little bit of rugby league and AFL, but it's fair to say football is definitely the one which dominates my sporting landscape.
Aussie born, Aussie bred?
Yeah, absolutely.
Canberra born, Canberra bred?
Yeah, I've lived a couple of years down the coast for a little while, and 1 year in England, in York. But other than that, Canberra the whole way.
And that, of course, it explains. I was wondering why. I knew you've got a passion for York City.
Yeah, well, it so happened that the year I lived there, it was a very tumultuous time for the club, and we'd go every week, and the club had just been bought by a guy named John Batchelor, who absolutely ruined the club, made all these promises which he didn't keep, promised us Premier League football in 5 years' time, didn't actually happen, we got conference football in 5 years' time, and the club's actually set up a trust which raised money between the fans, and then the fans' trust actually bought the club and the stadium back, and so that's why there's a lot of the fans are so passionate about it.
How much money did they raise, any idea?
Oh, God, I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe £4 million or something like that.
£4 million. Now, could Canberra do it? I know you're also an A-League for Canberra bid ban. You know, the A-League bid needs, it needs plenty of money, and I guess we'll wait and see what the FFA are going to say. But, you know, another idea that was floated around one day was that could Canberra raise that money for its own team? I mean, is that the way of the future? Seattle Sounders, York City...
Yeah, I think that would be a last resort. I think it's better off with privately owned by individuals. I don't like the idea of a fans actually owning the club. But yeah, it can be done. It's shown it can be done in various places around the world.
The model that we're going with is obviously to get investors, and that's what they're working on. There was a committee meeting last night, and I know that there's a number of investors sort of circling, I think. But again, at the end of the day, we've got a lot more money than some teams had when they entered the league. But, you know, the FFA clearly want Western Sydney, but if we can show we've got more money than they require us to have...
I think it's rapidly getting to the point where whether they want Western Sydney or not, it doesn't matter. There's no decent bid on the table. All the bids are basket cases. I mean, the most credible one seems to be from professional poker player Joe Messina, who's got a very shady business past, to say the least.
And also got links to Marconi, which in itself I don't see a problem, but obviously the FFA won't... you know, they won't want to hand it to a license, you know, that sort of license to a perceived ethnic club, as it were.
You go ask Blacktown City what they think of him after he bought their ground and wouldn't let them use it anymore.
No, well, that's right. So, you'd sort of think after the Socceroos game, and it's interesting that the FFA are looking at putting two games. I say the FFA are looking at putting two games here, not the Central Coast Mariners.
Because they decided on the draw.
Well, they decide on the draw, but also I think they saw the 20,000 people in Canberra. They know this is a football market, despite what people have tried to tell us in the past. You get 20,000 people to watch a football game, they don't want to let that die. So they now want to keep this market at some level. They'd like whether they want to give us an A-League team is a different matter. But, you could say tactically they say, well, OK, my take on it is they've seen the crowd. They're not sure about the A-League team. I mean, they're still, you know, hedging their bets there, I guess, because they want Western Sydney. But they're putting two games in here because they want to keep the football fans happy. It also means they can probably get two bigger crowds for the Central Coast games than they probably would if they had 15 games in Gosford. You know, two novelty games, as it were, here. But they're competitive games, they're A-League games, not like pre-season friendlies. So, and then in a sense, it builds the crowd towards an A-League team down the track.
Yes, I actually think if they put two Central Coast Mariners games here, the crowds won't do very well. I think you'll be looking at 6,000-7,000 at the top, because it's not like supporting your own team. It's not like supporting a Canberra team. You've just sent some foreign team here from Gosford that we're supposed to support just because it happens to be an A-League game. I don't think it's going to work like that. I don't think the games will do very well. We want our own team.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. I think we're no mugs. And going to watch. I mean, Central Coast will play Perth or Adelaide. Now, of course, if Denilson or Akoba's going, I think it might be a different story.
No, look, but, I mean, I'll go. I'd watch any football that comes to town, but I think the majority of people aren't going to.
No, although, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, and I don't think the crowds are a reflection, unfortunately, shouldn't be a reflection of whether we should have an A-League team, because I don't think, as you say, there's a big difference between having your own team and your own players. A-League for Canberra. Do you think it's going to happen, Aaron? What's your feeling?
I think it will, because I just don't think there is any credible bids coming out of Western Sydney, which is what they want right now. And I also think you're much better off. I mean, they've had a look at our bid. They know our bid is fantastic. We've got government support. We've got community support. We've got AIS links. We've got the stadium deal already in place. Our bid is complete. They're better off putting in a complete bid now and then working on Western Sydney and giving them an extra year to get their act together and get a bid put together properly. There's no point throwing them in when they're not ready, because you're just going to ruin what is potentially an excellent opportunity for FFA to get a great team going.
Yeah, it would seem odd that they would reject us, really, because you think we've got the 20,000 at the Socceroos game. That's enough to get, you think, well, we'd get 10,000 at a an early game built on the back of that. And if you built up to a team, you could easily get more, you know, you get many more fans. So you sort of think, well, is there opportunity to drive into this market?
That's right. And yeah. I don't want to be pessimistic, but say they don't take Canberra this time, who's to say in a year's time when they're looking to expand again and they come back to Canberra and say, look, we want you now, who's to say that the same bid's going to be on the table?
Well, that's right. And I think, you know, what's to stop them taking 13 teams?
That's right. That's right. And you have a complete bid ready right now. It's 100% ready. Just let us in.
Yeah, let us in. Okay, near post says let us in. Aaron Walker from the far post says let us in. So just do it. Okay, Aaron, you play football all your life, indoor?
I have outdoor? Played indoor and outdoor all my life, minus the last 3 years because I am chronically injured and can just never get back on the pitch. Oh, I'm registered and I'm signed up. Whether I actually play is a different
thing. What's up with it? Can we ask you that?
Chronic shin splints. I just can't get rid of them. They're a really annoying injury to have. I've tried everything and I'm currently wearing orthotics, which I got last week in the hope that they're going to realign my feet, so says the podiatrist. So we'll give it a go. They cost $700, so they better do something.
Oh, well, good luck. We wish you well. And also, some of the big, you've obviously been a football fan all your life. What are the games that you've been to? Any games that stand out in your memory?
Oh, well, I think the one that stands out in anyone's memory that's ever been there was the second leg of the Uruguay qualifier in 05. It was a fantastic game, which I went to. And I also went to a Champions League game, which was Valencia versus Liverpool at Liverpool there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was nice as well.
Nice game, was it?
03 it was. Well, yeah, it was 60,000 sellout Champions League game. It was a group stage against Valencia. Valencia actually won the game 1-0, and we got tickets through a member of Valencia, a Spanish guy who was a member of the club. So we sat in the tiny little piece of the stadium that was Valencia fans, and everyone was just yelling and swearing and pointing at us the whole time. And when they actually scored the goal, our little section went crazy, and some Spanish guy was talking to us. We couldn't understand what he was saying. He handed us this big banner, and we had to hold it up, and we actually made the front page of some Spanish newspaper the next day.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. I still don't know what the sign said.
No.
I've got the picture at home. Maybe someone... I should take it into Narrabundi. Maybe someone can read it for me.
Maybe.
Because we're a Spanish paper.
Of course, yeah. So they're the two biggest games you've been to.
Yeah, probably. I'd say so.
And the Socceroos game... What was
Of course, I watched Narrabundi play in the grand final last year. That was pretty big.
That was pretty big. Okay, so locally... So what does the football mean to you when you're playing?
Well, I'm just in it for the fun. I'm not in it to conquer the world or anything like that. But, yeah, as long as I'm enjoying myself, that's the main aim. But at the moment, that's not happening. I can't even get on the pitch.
Yeah, no. So any thoughts on the future of coaching it or...?
Coaching? No, I can't coach. Hopeless. No. No ideas for the future. If I can just play, I'll be happy to play. And for as long as my legs carry me, I want to be one of those people that's playing Masters at 50 years old. So
keep going.
That's my plans for the future.
What about Australian football? So you've seen a lot of changes since you've been following the game. And what's your thoughts there on where we're at?
I think we're in somewhere fantastic. And I think we're somewhere I never thought we would be back in the Soccer Australia era. I never thought that would change. I think it was too deep-rooted. And I think the man that we have to thank for it all is John Howard, who personally invited Frank Lowe to get involved to come and restructure the entire thing, which he's done, and now it's been on an upwards trajectory ever since.
I never thought I'd say it, John Howard, you're a great man. Well, when it comes to football, okay. But having said that, with you know, just the camera angle, there's lots of things happening in camera, but we're still short. You know, all these things have been happening across the nation with football, but we're still rooted really down at the Premier League level. There's no state league teams, there's still no A-League team, you know.
Well, I think we lost out when Belconnen United stopped playing in the New South Wales Premier League. New South Wales Football threw us out of the competition when Belconnen had been doing very well, and I think that was a missed avenue for young Canberra kids to move up, and you do get seen in the state leagues. There's good players in the state leagues, and that's where in the New South Wales Premier League, and that's where players get signed for the A-League, and we don't have that right now.
No, and I think the FFA, I mean, if they're looking at the development program, they need to enforce that there's a Canberra team allowed into the state league.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
What's the point in having a development program if you're saying, oh no, they stop at Belconnen United or Canberra FC?
Right. If you put Canberra FC right now in New South Wales Premier League or the Victorian Premier League, they'll definitely hold their own. That'd be not lasted mid-table somewhere, I think.
Even if they're mid-table, it doesn't matter, does it? It's a question of they'll raise to the standard that, you know, once they work through it. So, but I think I think it's an opportunity that with the FFA getting involved, I think they might mandate that, you know, we should be in the New South Wales Premier League, which will give us another pathway, which would be good. Mm. I think we need that.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, so what's happening for you this week? We've got a minute or so left, football-wise.
Oh, what's happening? Well, I'm going to start training again now that I've got these new things.
Good.
So I'll go along on tomorrow. Tomorrow's a training, and then with a bit of luck, I'll score myself 10, 20 minutes on the weekend. Well, I don't know. We've got too many players. The squad's bloody full. I can't get back in.
Where do you normally play? What position?
I like to play up front or in the back line, right. But increasingly they stick me on the wing, and I just can't stand the position.
No, okay.
I don't have the running for it.
What about watching any football? You'll be watching the Champions League, will you?
I would like to watch the Champions League tomorrow. It's not up to me. It's up to the girlfriend, I'm afraid.
Not allowed to get turned to telly.
Look, I can only do X amount of football things in my spare time, man. And I'm already here tonight. I'll have post on Sunday. I'm training tomorrow. There's only X amount of things which she'll let me do. She's very lenient, but you've got to cut the line somewhere.
Does she play football, your girlfriend?
She does. It's the first ever year she's playing for Bell West. They played their first game on the weekend.
And got a name?
Sorry?
Name?
Sam, yes.
Sam, well, we wish you well, Sam. And, you see, she can come in the four post with you.
Oh, she was happy to come in any time.
That's right. So now you've converted her. She's playing, and then the next day she's a media star. Yeah. All right. Well, Aaron Walker, far post extraordinaire. Thanks for coming in at short notice tonight and talking football, talking national curriculum, talking all sorts.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Okay. And if you're out there playing football, wherever you're going, if you're going to the near post, get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.